Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was God, and God alone, and the world was void of form and shape. Then he spoke to the emptiness, declaring that there be light, and separated the day from the night, split the waters from the waters with the sky. Then into existence he spoke birds and creatures of the sea, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And on land there were animals according to their own kind, but in the image of God he created man. Male and female he created them. It is good. Alone he stood. Be united in holy covenant made for two. There the two become one, and God said that it is good.
Welcome once again to Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. Winston Lewis at your service.
And Sandra Lewis as well.
Declaring that it is.
It is
yet
good.
Surely it is good. Still.
Yes.
As we continue to uplift, inspire, and motivate through this vehicle, cyber service of Dying to Be Married. We thank our brother Stacy Harcum for our opening theme. It is good. You can find him at missionsinmusic.com. That's www.missionsinmusic.com. And without further ado, if you will join us in a word of prayer. O great God of heaven, in your Son Jesus' name, we come to you, O Lord, in this moment, giving you the glory, honor, and praise for our lives, our health, and our strength. Thank you for this blessed opportunity to serve and do your good will. We trust, as you are in our midst, as you promised, that you will be as very there with those listening on now as well as in the future, that they will in turn be blessed, that they will in turn spread this good word, that the good news is going forward. Oh, great God, we trust you for these and all things. You see the sufferings of your people. You see what we've gone through. You see where we are, but you also know where we're headed. And surely as we submit our souls to you, it is a good place and it is a good thing. And we will trust you thereby for this blessed destination of victory. And in all these things, we will dare to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome once again, Ambassador Sandra.
Yes, you are listening to the Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis radio service broadcast. Dying to Be Married, the True Process of Holy Matrimony. Ephesians 5:25 states, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We are also committed to the sanctity and the purpose of marriage, and we believe that marriage works when you work it God's way, and that he will supply the grace that we need, both partners, the husband and the wife, when we diligently seek after him. We also have a passion for providing the tools that are needed for successful relationships, and those tools will include and the testimonies of others, teachers, counselors, and more. We also discuss topics that transcend racial, ethnic, or political barriers, as we believe the Holy Bible to be the standard of all truth. Matthew 19:6 states, "So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." If you are listening to this broadcast live, you are welcome to join in our live chat room, as well as call in at 914-803-4491 and press 1 when you'd like to speak with the host. This broadcast is being brought to you by Kingdom United Ministries Network, and the mission of Kingdom United Ministries Network is to unite, promote, and expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of souls. And the mission, the vision of our ministry can also be found in the theme of Matthew 25:33-45, which summed up is, "What you have done to the least of these, you've done it to me." And we invite you to visit our website at www.kingdomcomenet.com. That's www.kingdomcomenet.com. And while you are there, visit our webpage at Dying to Be Married and send us an email letting us know that you were there. The Dying to Be Married page not only has the archived broadcast of the previous broadcast, but you can also find marriage ministry resources there. Lots of great features there. You can also visit our blogs and different features that we have on our webpage. And if the broadcast at Kingdom United Ministries Network has been a blessing to you, and there are different broadcasts, and you can go to the ministry broadcast page, which will list all of the different weekly as well as our monthly broadcasts. And if you have been blessed by any of our broadcasts or our website, then you can also be a part by visiting our expansion and donation page, and you can make a secure donation there. Or if you choose to mail in a donation, or if you have questions or comments or anything that you'd like to ask or send to us, you can certainly do that by mailing it to Kingdom United Ministries Network at P.O. Box 51661, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 49005. There are, as I stated before, several features at our website, so you are more than welcome to visit the page. Now, you know, the Word of God states in Revelation 2:29, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And at this time, we're going to have a word that we believe Ambassador has from the Lord to speak to the church today. Ambassador?
Yes. Thank you very much. And surely, taking advantage of the time, as we tend to do at Dying to Be Married and Kingdom United Ministries Network, as it is apropos during this celebration of the independence of our country, the United States of America, we also take the time to celebrate true freedom. Surely there could be an argument that though this be called the land of the free and the home of the brave, you know, someone could argue of the many things that seem to restrict us, and there's a great argument over the freedoms that have been espoused by our nation, freedom of speech and the right to bear arms and the pursuit of happiness and so forth, all in our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But I'm here to tell you, there is a greater freedom. Yes, a greater freedom. Because, you know, the arguments have gone forth that there's a freedom of speech, but you can't just say anything without consequences. The right to bear arms is under scrutiny these days. Various positions that folk take on these things, how free should we be, does the argument go. But it brings to mind a passage. I'm going to take a moment and use two passages for this exhortation pertaining to our freedom. John 8:36 states, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Our Lord King Christ addressed those who at the moment in the context of the passage of the Jewish faith and culture saying, we are free. He addressed them when they questioned his declaration of freedom, his declaration of independence, if you will. And they, in their finite and limited understanding, thought they were free where they were. And by the position they were in. But the Lord concluded this statement of freedom, this declaration of independence, if you will, on a greater level of freedom, free from sin, shame, death even, you see, is indicative of this freedom that he spoke of, that I'm here to let you know we should take advantage of the time to embrace this such freedom from bondage. We are no longer bound to sin when we believe. We should no longer be bound and subject where sin is our taskmaster, where the bondages, the ties that bound us in sin, the fetters and the chains that held us back, we no longer have to be subject to. We no longer have to be of servitude, you see. And that's something to celebrate. Now, granted, this past week, this being a few days after the official Independence Day, I thoroughly enjoyed family and friends, as is our custom to celebrate. We, you know, grill, and we, yes, shoot off fireworks, and I must say, we had a ball. I pray that that doesn't offend anyone, but, you know, that's the thing about our Christianity that has been so restrictive in many years, and people are almost afraid to have a ball. But that brings me to this point, to be free from such restriction, to be free to celebrate, to be free from foolishness even, You know, life is to be celebrated. Life is to be lived and it more abundantly. Am I right, Sister Lewis?
Right.
You see, it's something about going through this life in a celebratory way. You see, surely there are many challenges. Surely in the daily grind of the rat race, in the daily grind of working and going to school and trying to make ends meet and to raise a family and to meet deadlines and to pay bills and such, it can be a grind. And let alone when you're believing the spiritual enemies that attack you, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the things that attack us on a daily basis, the doubt, the fear, the guilt, the shame, all these things that, yes, in the past had us bound. We were slave to fear. We were slave to worry and fret and doubt and all those things that tripped us up, all those things that had our undivided attention. But I'm here to let you know, the same Son Jesus spoke of himself, the same one who made us free, when he finished it on the cross, he made us free, when he rose again, he made us free. You know, a lot of people say whom the Son has set free, but it's a difference between being set and being made. Set is as in loosing shackles, turning the key in the lock of the handcuff to be open the jail door, the cell door, if you will. But this freedom, it was as it was created. A way was made out of what? No way. That type of freedom. Where it was nothing anyone else could do. There's a hymn that, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. That type of freedom. The Son, it takes the Son to make this type of freedom, to create a way, as in being at a Red Sea with Pharaoh breathing down your neck, and you weighed down with the treasures of Egypt. Lord, have mercy. And nowhere else to turn when the Red Sea is, he will make a way. I don't know. Try not to preach, just to exhort and lift up and inspire. But isn't that something to celebrate, Sister Lewis?
It is.
Such a freedom. Such a freedom when at times we were so disturbed in the past and so tripped up, and we are no longer that. This is not our worst day. This is not the worst of times. Lord, have mercy. It's a time to celebrate our freedom. Am I right?
Amen.
What do you think about that, Sister Lewis?
You know, when you said that about the difference in being set free and being made free, you know, a person can be set free and not have the right to be. You know, you think of my thought goes to someone who has been imprisoned, and someone comes and they've been sentenced to a time that they are to be in prison, and someone breaks them out. You know, it's a jailbreak. You know, they set them free, but they don't have the legal right to be. And living that way, they're always looking over their shoulder.
Right.
You know, they never have the peace that goes along with having the right to be.
Right.
You know, you've been set loose, but without having the right to be, you always have that, you know, that looking over your shoulder.
Right.
You can't enjoy life. You can't even enjoy your freedom.
Not exonerated.
Exactly, because you still sentenced. You still carry that sentence and that burden that you haven't paid that debt.
Right.
You know, but I'm reminded of the one who did.
Yes.
And because The debt has already been paid. We have been made free in him.
Mm-hmm.
I've already paid the price. I've already served the time.
Right.
Now, you don't have to look over your shoulder anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he whom the Son sets free
mm-hmm.
is free indeed.
You see, you know, he X'd out our wreck, our trouble. He
mm-hmm.
X'd out our bondage.
Yes.
He expunged our
yes.
record. He exonerated us
mm-hmm.
from the past.
That's
and
right.
That is something to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the covering of his blood are we made free.
Yeah.
Do we not have to suffer from the sin and shame of yesterday? And you know, it is something how many do not realize the power and the privilege of such freedom.
Yeah.
Many of us tend to forget. And
mm-hmm.
surely the enemy is hard at work making
yep.
sure that we do forget.
That's right.
Making sure that we take our eyes off the prize that we have in our bosom, our eyes off of this treasure in these earthen vessels
mm-hmm.
and try to bring us back to fear, to bring us back to doubt, to bring us back to worry and shame of and guilt from yesterday. But, you know, it reminds me how the apostle who wrote to the Romans in the 8th chapter and the 18th verse, Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, many times when we're going through and we have legitimate beef, we have legitimate reason to be concerned. We have a scary situation. We have some bad news that is very real and very right now. Uh-huh. We have trouble, even on every hand at times. Am I right? Yes, it's past the due date. We find ourselves a day late and a dollar short. We find ourselves on the outside looking in. You see, victory is beyond our grasp. We're just below the glass ceiling with nothing to break the glass. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, need I go on? Trouble, summing it all up. But this passage gives us hope. This passage sheds light. This passage allows freedom to ring when we consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, there's a movement to shut down hope, that hope is hopeless, Lord, have mercy, that there's no reason to hope, that, you know, what's the use of hoping? But I'm here to let you know that's the root of our freedom, because that's the root of what we believe. Why? Faith is the substance, of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, it's sure. It's more real than the real we know. And it's based on this freedom that Christ gave us, surely, by the shedding of his blood and the resurrection of his body, a reason to celebrate our freedom. You are listening to a broadcast being brought to you by Kingdom United Ministries Network.
The mission of Kingdom United Ministries Network is to unite, promote, and expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of souls. The vision of this ministry can be found within the theme of Matthew 25, verses 33 through 45, which in essence is what you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. We invite you to visit our website at www.kingdomcomenet.com. That is www.kingdomcomenet.com. Through this network of ministry broadcasts and online features, we are touching the world for the kingdom.
our weekly broadcast, which airs each Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., Dying to be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis, deals with the true process of holy matrimony between a man and a woman and Christ and the church, so they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Matthew 19:6.
Our monthly lineup is the first through the fourth Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and can be accessed via their web pages listed on the website of Kingdom United Ministries Network. There you will also find previous archives and relative ministry resources.
For our women's ministry, which airs on the first Saturday of the month, we have Naomi's Daughters, hosted by Ambassadors and Women on Fire, Sandra Lewis, Latoya Walker, Kathy Thompson, and Sister Linda Mariah. Stop by Kathy's Kitchen for inspirational blogs. And visit our sister site, Minister Debbie Miranda's Radiant Tree Productions, LLC, for holistic health and organic skin and hair care products and information. Find us on Facebook.
On the second Saturday is Kingdom Foundational Truths, highlighted by Ambassadors Winston Lewis and Antonio McCoy, which is an open conversation on foundational truths that every Christian should know, second nature, highlighting the basic principles of Christian faith, while reserving the right to go deeper and prompting open discussion.
On the third Saturday, we have Kept on Campus, which is a ministry that broadcasts serve as a monthly forum for young adults to tune in and discuss what's happening on our campuses, both physically and spiritually. Join in the conversation and encourage others to participate as well. Let's talk about what's happening on your campus, in your community, or in your life. Find us on Facebook at https://www.facebook.com/CaptainCampus.
And on the fourth Saturday, Kingdom Kids Network. Kingdom Kids Network is our youth ministry and is hosted by Junior Ambassadors Clinton
and Imani, and we are
Kingdom Kids.
Together, we are reaching our peers, talking about the challenges of our youth and the solutions to Jesus Christ.
Visit our website and view other ministry features and resources, including previous guest websites, Bible resources, blogs, and much, much more. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, visit our expansion and donation page, where a secure donation can be made, or write us and mail in your donation to Kingdom United Ministries Network, P.O. Box 51661, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 49005. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our broadcasts or are led to become a part of this network, send us an email by going to the broadcast page and provide us your contact and ministry information, or send to kumn@kingdomcomenet.com. Follow us on Blog Talk or send us your email or social media information for regular updates. And as always, You are welcome.
are opening our new series in the midst of our summer. Topics hotter than July.
Yes.
And we are thoroughly blessed today to be joined by our guest, Sister Lewis. If you will introduce her, please.
We are very blessed to be able to start off this, kick off this series with none other than Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Now, Valerie is a best-selling author of Blended Families Anthology. Valerie J. Lewis Coleman has helped thousands of families navigate the challenges of child support, visitation, discipline, and more. With over 20 years of experience in family and relationships, and she and her husband just celebrated their 20-year
yes.
wedding anniversary. Praise God.
Woo-hoo.
This expert, yes, has given...
As you hear the hoarseness in her voice.
This expert has given advice on varying issues, including baby mama drama, defiant children, and disapproved in-laws. On her journey to assist others with building strong families, she shares her personal testimony and practical tools to help you stop the step family madness in your home. You can find more information at penofthewriter.com. Step parenting is like managing a late night convenience store, all of the responsibility and none of the authority. And she is also the author of Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, which we are really wanting to get into today. So we welcome Sister Valerie J. Lewis Coleman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
hello.
It is our pleasure. Yes. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule. I tell you, we really appreciate, you know, all that you have to share with us. And I know that we are going to have to, and I'll say this now, this is not going to be a one-time shot because you have so much to share.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, just to say that, morning after their 20 year celebration. So one, she's a trooper.
Yes, yes she is.
You know, to say that we're recording this the day after, and two, I don't think this hurts either. That her husband was supposed to join us. we usually sleep longer, don't we, man? It's all good. I think we revealed one secret right
one
here.
One secret, I think so.
Making it last for 20 years. But we want to give you the opportunity, Sister Val, what's some nuggets of making it last for 20 years?
Well, I think, one of the things I will tell or share with anyone about making a marriage relationship last for 20 years, it really requires selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our generation or our era of people, we are very self-centered, selfish, self-indulged, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't make for a great characteristic in a marriage.
Sure. I love the way you emphasize those syllables.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Broke that
mm-hmm.
down,
indeed.
And each one is in its own a message.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying,
yes. Well, I think that's most important is being selfless. I think also, you know, us being able to make it for 20 years, and I'll have to say it definitely has not always been easy, but a lot of it has come to us being willing to sit back and understand myself and my motives for doing different things, and then being able to communicate to other why we do what we do. So,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. early on in the relationship, there were a lot of disagreements or disputes or arguments, whatever word you want to use, about basic fundamental things. But now as, you know, we're maturing and we're getting to know each other better, we're quicker to say, well, no, that's not quite what I meant, or did you mean to say, or I understood
right.
you to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so that eliminates a lot of our, I don't want to say minor disagreements, because oftentimes the things that seem to be minor end up being quite major when they go unresolved. So
mm-hmm.
we're better about resolving our issues in a more timely manner. You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that phrase, we have adapted it here, intense fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
my
mm-hmm.
wife liked that euphemism. And, you know, we've adapted it through speaking to various couples, and it kind of melded itself into that. Surely, we like to pretty things up, but, yeah, surely we argue and debate and sometimes, you know, scrap, you know, to
right.
be honest.
But, right.
Intense fellowship sums it up and makes it palatable for those listening.
Yeah, right. And you have to clarify, not scrap as in, you know,
yeah,
physical.
Fisticuffs,
exactly.
But, you know,
because you have
spark.
Some who
yeah,
are in that mold.
True.
That's right. And
yes.
you, and sadly, you know, and I know this is another
yes.
broadcast, but sadly, that is, you know, that's the reality for a lot of couples, even
mm-hmm.
in the church. And it's one that is not being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many women, pastors' wives and different ones are in relationships where on, you know, on Sunday everybody's smiling and praising the Lord, and at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's getting knocked upside the head. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is the reality, and this is the reason why we need to clarify,
yes.
you know, and not make lightly, because for somebody, they're living in that reality right now.
That's the truth.
That's right.
And, but, yes, yeah, surely there are times when you have, and this is what we found in our relationship, both my husband and I are very passionate, and we have had some of the highest of highs in our relationship. When we have fun, we have fun. You know, when it's good, it's good. But when we disagree,
mm-hmm.
we are very passionate. This man, I love him, love him, love him. But can't nobody, when I, you know that we say, can't nobody do me like Jesus, can't nobody do
mm-hmm.
me like Winston.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of that fact is, can't nobody make me happy like him, and nobody can make me mad like him.
Okay.
And when we don't agree, and when we're not there, you know, it is, that's where that intense fellowship comes in. And that's when you do.
And love the way you put that.
Mm-hmm.
The phraseology, which makes a world of
difference.
Right. If you can get to that place of control, and surely that's
mm-hmm.
what time reveals, how to phrase the hot button.
Right.
You know, there's that button that takes it to that next level where you go from. What were those, excuse me, those phrases you had again?
The self.
No,
oh, not
when
those.
When she said the phraseology in questing your mate.
Well, when you get
oh.
to a place
mm-hmm.
where you understand each other to the point where when you're asking questions, it's more
mm-hmm.
about, did I understand you to say, I heard
right.
you say,
uh-huh.
did you mean to say, you know, which
mm-hmm.
helps to clarify. It's, just, it's basically paraphrasing what you heard, because communication comes in six parts: what I said, what you heard me say, what
mm-hmm.
I meant to say, what you thought I said. You know, you go back and forth, and if you don't have that bridge gap, if you don't gap that bridge, you'll tend to have a level of miscommunication. I think another aspect of intense fellowship is also understanding there may come a time where you just have to agree to disagree. Now,
right.
And that comes with maturity as well. You know, even
mm-hmm.
in the Bible, I believe it was Paul and Barnabas. They couldn't agree
right.
on taking a gentleman with them, and I don't want to say the wrong name, but
mm-hmm.
So they just decided, okay, I'm not taking, you go ahead and take him. It's okay. You go ahead
right.
and take him with you. I'm
mm-hmm.
not taking him with me. We're still going to get our mission accomplished. And I
mm-hmm.
think that comes with maturity, because you're not
mm-hmm.
going to always come to agreement on every aspect.
Right. So true.
You know, and that brings us to the anthology.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite a powerful manuscript. just to say, as we were reviewing it, it is a composition of various artists, including yourself, and your
mm-hmm.
husband has a few chapters also. But it is other authors is what I meant to say,
right.
that
mm-hmm.
contribute to this writing. What we want to know, and we implore you all to take a great look at this, pick it up, buy it,
mm-hmm.
read it, absorb it. But
and while you're mm-hmm. right there, where can they purchase this book as well as Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box?
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Blended Families and Anthology, which was an Amazon.com number one bestseller in the stepfamily category, is available on Amazon. However, if they want an autographed copy, they can get that from my website, which is penofthewriter.com, and pen is spelled P-E-N ofthewriter.com, which is based off of the scripture, Judges 5:14. And then The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, which has also been a bestseller on Amazon, is available on Amazon, and an autographed copy is available at thegoodieboxbook.com, and goodie is spelled G-O-O-D-Y, thegoodieboxbook.com.
Great.
Excellent.
Great.
But as we were saying, and, you know, it's so important, you all who are listening, you can back that up and get it broken down and get to it. But the why behind this anthology, the why behind what you wrote?
I wrote Blended Families and Anthology to keep from going to jail. It was either write the book or go to jail. Literally, our stepfamily dynamic had gotten so chaotic, so frustrating, so overwhelming that I was in the process. I had decided that I was done. I had been married for 12 years. I beat the national statistics. You know, I was good at what I did, or so I thought. I'm done. I'm ready to move on. I couldn't deal anymore with my husband's kids. That's how I labeled them, and his ex-wife. I had just had enough. And so I was going to leave. But, you know, and I know it was nothing but the Lord, I said, let me give this thing one last chance. And I called a girlfriend who was also a stepmother. She was a praying woman, but she was also a stepmother. So I went to someone who could give me guidance and counsel, who could relate to what I was going through. It's nothing worse than talking to somebody about being in a stepfamily. They don't know anything about it. They can't relate.
Right.
They can't really give you valid advice because they haven't been through it. And in calling her, she ministered to me right where I needed that ministry. You know, she didn't go over my head, you know, with all the basic generic type. And I don't want to say prayer is generic, but she targeted specifically in at what I needed. And as a result, you know, her prayer was peace in the home, and everyone who walks in comes in peace, and her and her husband have the authority, and God minister to the children, and, you know, so her prayer really touched my heart, and as a result, I said, okay, I'm going to give this one last try. I'm going to try it again. And through her channeling, my desire to stay, it also changed my prayer, because my prayer, instead of being, God, that man you gave me, and that woman and those kids, I began to say, okay, Lord, what is it about me? What can I do differently to change this situation? Because I was so busy pointing the blame, you know, looking at the forest and not acknowledging that, you know, that I was a part of this confusion. And at that point, you know, the Lord really revealed some things to me. I also stopped being the contentious woman on the rooftop, and I started taking it to the Lord. And so my husband changed. And the entire situation really changed. But as a result, I realized in year 12 of our marriage, after marching around that mountain for 12 years, that I cannot be the only one in going through this type of thing. You know, a lot of my friends were in step families, but as you said before, a lot of those things stay very private. You know, because we are Christians, because we are strong, proud Black women, or, you know, we believe that, you know, we can fix everything. I'm saved. I'm a good person. Everybody loves me. I love the Lord. This will work out okay. And we don't share the struggles with other people. And so once I came to the realization that, okay, we do have a significant problem here, I started talking to other families who were in step families and finding out that they were in some very difficult situations, even more so catastrophic than mine. I mean, there was physical abuse where children were trying to jump on the, or, you know, fighting the kids, and one man broke his arm trying to get his son off of his wife, you know. So I realized that, okay, there is something that needs to be said and done about this. And all the books that I began to research and read, they were all more from a clinical perspective, you know, more from a PhD telling you do this, do that. Or I wanted to get it from the perspective of people in the step family. So I did a call for stories, and I received stories from all across the U.S. and Canada. I got stories from the biological mother, the biological father, the stepmother and father. I even got stories from the grandparents. I got stories from people, how they felt as the stepchild and the things that happened to them as a child. So the book provides a very wide perspective of the dynamics of step families. Because for me, in our situation, all I saw was a defiant little girl. My husband had three children. I had two. We only had one girl, and that was his daughter. And that's all I saw was a defiant, manipulative, hard-headed, disrespectful, ill-mannered, untrained, no home. That's all I saw. Because I came from the position of authoritarian, you know, as a parent, than I did out of compassion, recognizing that this little girl who was 8 years old when we got married was hurt. She was confused. She didn't know, how can I love Miss Val and love my mommy too? Can I really love, can I have two mommies and love them both? Now that daddy's married, where does that put me? Am I still his number one girl? Mommy and daddy can never get married. She was 8 years old, had unresolved issues from a parent's divorce, and was hurting. I didn't see hurt. I saw the symptoms of hurt and not the cause. And I addressed the symptoms in an authoritative manner that did not bring resolve to the situation. And so in writing the book, I really learned a lot about myself, things that I could have done differently in handling, you know, her outbursts and her attitude and her actions, because she got pretty awful. But I also learned that from my husband's perspective, you know, even though we talked, it tend to be a very volatile topic, so we didn't talk about it a lot. Because, it, like you talked about, the intensive fellowship, anytime I brought up his kids or the issues of child support or tell the ex-wife, don't call here anymore, trying to be disrespectful, it ended up in a intensive fellowship. And so we often avoided those conversations, leaving issues unresolved. And as you both know, when you leave issues unresolved in any type of dynamic, whether it's at the job, you know, at home, at church, anything that's left unresolved, it's not going to fix itself. And so it just festered like a canker sore. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so I wanted to get different perspectives on what it's like to be in a step family. I didn't feel that ours was the it wasn't a good model, and I didn't want to write a book on step families, using my family as a model, the only model, knowing that we had not reached a place of peace and tranquility and fellowship in our family. So it was important for me to do the research and get other people's feedback. And so the stories in blended families include stories of success and failure. You know, the divorce rate in America is 50%, and in Christendom, and African-American Christendom, is much higher, somewhere between 60 and 70%. And when you start talking about second marriages, that divorce rate is even higher, because we don't deal with the issues. We don't consider the fact that as soon as we get married, there's no chasing each other around the house, because we're jumping right into homework and soccer and children and discipline and the other parent and child support and my money, your money. So it really gets chaotic from the very beginning, trying to nurture the relationship that brought all this confusion together in the first place. So I really wanted to share my story, and I'm quite transparent in the book, and as you've read, I'm very transparent, and I made sure that all the stories that I got were also stories of transparency. So if the person just kind of sugarcoated it, I would go back to them and say, hey, I really need you to wrap this up. Give me some more meat. This is not fluff. We want to be able to change lives and make this thing a blessing to people. And I've actually had people come up to me, and, you know, husbands and wives tell me that, you know, they take the book and they read it every night before they go to bed, read a story, you know, because the stories are short. read a story every night before they go to bed, and then look at how they can apply that to their family dynamic. I've gotten emails, you know, where it's actually saved marriages because they weren't looking at it from each other's perspective. You know, they were focused on me and my needs or my children's needs and not looking at the total picture. So the book helps them to step out of self and view it from a much more wider perspective, like Jesus getting on the boat so that he could speak and amplify his message to the people on the shore. You know, that's what this book does, is it amplifies the message so that you can see what's going on beyond, you know, your individual state of affairs.
Key that you would give to couples in married, in blended families, and just this one thing that you would want to leave with those. I think you've ended quite well on the goodie box subject, and we're going to have you back on Naomi's Daughters.
Oh, sounds good.
Yes. But if you can, one nugget that you would give to couples in blended families.
The one thing I recommend, if nothing else is done, is to make sure that you sit down with all the parents involved, not the children, the parents involved, and develop a parental agreement. And basically what that rules in your house, rules in the other parents' house, because the children are bouncing from home to home, set some guidelines and standards for homework, discipline, bedtime, visitors, you know, playtime. Set those guidelines up in each individual home, and then once you all come to an agreement, because you can have, you know, four or five parents involved depending upon the dynamic of the family, bring those parents together, sit down and make an agreement. These are the rules in your house. When my kids are at your house, I'm going to expect them to honor your rules. These are the rules in my house. When your kids are here, I expect them to honor my rules. Mm-hmm. And then go before the children as a united front. So all the parents, these are the rules. These are the expectations. You will be respectful. You will do this. You will do that. And if you don't, then we will handle it. And here are the consequences. Because what that does is that sets the foundation for the children to not be able to manipulate. Children are master manipulators of their biological parents.
That's right.
Mommy, can I have? Mommy says no. Daddy, can I have? Sure. Start bringing in the dynamics of you know, non-biological children. You have a whole other box of Pandora's box that opens up. So this helps to bridge the gap. And if you can't get the other parent, you know, if the two biological parents can't come to an agreement because there's so much hurt or anger or hatred in their relationship, at least it's the two people who are going to be in the home with the children. So in my situation, my husband and I come to an agreement on how we're going to handle things, because even though their mother may not be in agreement with what we're doing, my husband and I need to stand as a united front. And that'll help eliminate a lot of confusion. It's almost like a contract. We both understand here are the expectations, here's the consequences. And then once a quarter, once a year, go back and review them, because as the children grow and mature, the rules will grow and mature.
Right. Thank you so much, Sister Val. You have just been a blessing, and I know that we're going to get more inquiries about what you do. And we just want to let our listeners know, go to penofthewriter.com to get more information and to find out about her books, both the Blended Families and Anthology, as well as Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. So thanks so much again for joining us on this evening, and our regards and blessings to your husband as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
In case you don't know, the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior. This is your opportunity. This is your day. This is a day to be memorialized for you for the rest of your new life.
That's right.
Because this is what it is. When we talk about being born again, could it be that the travail you've been going through right now is because God is about to give birth to something new in you? And this is your opportunity. If you would, repeat after me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you a sinner. I believe that your son Jesus died for me, that he rose again on the third day. And because he now lives, I can be a new creation. Father, I give you my life. I give you my all right now. And I ask you to take what I'm bringing to you, oh God, and make me again anew. Father God, I pray for that individual that just prayed that prayer.
Yes, Lord.
That they know that they really did to you, and that now you see them as a totally new creation, and they are no longer a slave to what where they've been and what they've gone through. Father, I pray for those who are in marriages that seem to be in turmoil right now. They don't see how they're going to make it. They don't even, they've already declared that it's over. It's already been memorialized. They've already said those days are over. But Father God, right now, you are the one who brings resurrected life to dead things. And Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they will humble themselves. Give themselves over to you as dear children, knowing that they're first brother and sisters in Christ. And, Lord, that they will know that you alone are a loving Father and that you will give them the grace they need for life. When they do it your way, Lord, help them to humble themselves and give themselves over to you that you will give them the grace for life. And, Father, we will be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for joining us once again for Dying to Be Married and invite you to visit us again next week. And in the meantime, go to our webpage. We love you. Praise God. Amen.
Speak to my heart now.
Speak to my heart.
Dear Holy Spirit.
Message of
love to encourage.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know.